Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, they call me Pook. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.
And welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. Grateful that you can join us tonight for another positive, informative, and hopefully useful conversation. We're going to get right into it. We're grateful again for each of you that have been following us. Building Families and Communities Institute is the sponsor for this live dialogue. And our endeavor is to reach audiences across urban America. And in doing so, what we hope to do is to provide substantive information to our listening audience that will help us to address some of the unfortunate things that we see across America, particularly in urban settings. All right? Having said that, We open up our phone line, and we encourage you to call in and to share your question, your comment. We had a little slow start with our Facebook streaming. Nonetheless, we're in there now. The number to call here is 657-383-0944. Right here in the studio, you can engage us and have substantive conversations. 657-383-0944. Again, my name is Reuben Dockery. You're listening to Talk Straight. Now, all across urban America, the number one threat to the life and safety of an urban American male youth is street violence. The threat is not external to his environment, but rather internal to his own social experience. Most unfortunately, as a matter of social conditioning, the urban American male too often has a lifespan of approximately 18 to 21 years. Now, I'm convinced that we can change that. And that brings us to our topic tonight, how to preserve the life of an urban American male. Again, I want to invite you to join us and say hello to Ms. Dabney, who's joined us on live stream. We're following us here. I expect Pastor Ricky Waddle will come on sooner or later, and you again give us a call here, 657-383-0944. With that being said, I'm going to go ahead and go to our monologue, and then we're going to open up our phone lines. And I believe that this is something that we all can really grow from. This conversation, this discussion, certainly right here in my home base in Nashville, and I see in other areas, the problem is continuously prevalent, but there's hope. There's hope. Before I leave you tonight, I'm going to offer you some hope. I won't just give you a lot of sadness, trouble. I'm going to offer you some hope. All right. Having said that, let's get to it here. How to preserve the life of an urban American male youth. Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, first verse, a very familiar passage, scriptural text says, "Remember now, Ator, in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, for the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." The text suggests that there is benefit in using the energy, the vitality, the imagination, skill of your youth wisely. Let's talk about what a disease is and an epidemic. I've had this conversation recently with some people, and sometimes I think people, it hurts to face the reality, and I think sometimes people think I have a very negative outlook on prospects for young people, particularly in urban America. But I want you to know that I'm speaking straight from that experience, and that's my greatest authority outside of my educational credential in the last 25 years of service. Humanity, all those things have come from this. So and we've been able to overcome it and replicate that at least once with my own children. Nonetheless, let's get to it. Disease. A disease is a particular abnormal condition that negatively affects the structure, part, or all of an organism. That's what we are as human beings, a living, breathing organism. Now, interestingly enough, it's not necessarily due to any external injury, though. Quite often it comes from the inside disease. How you doing there, Brother Hunter? Now, let's talk about what an epidemic is, because I'm going to give you some information straight from the Center for Disease Control of the United States. Epidemic. A widespread occurrence of an infectious disease in a community at a particular time. No time ever than more today have we seen so many young people with potential lose their lives in the streets of urban America. Yes, we have issues in suburban and rural America, absolutely. I'm trying to discredit that. I'm specifically talking about the urban American challenge for young people. Now, consider this. Due to the long-term and increasing social condition with urban American neighborhoods directly impacting African American males in certain age ranges, former President Barack Obama, his Center for Disease Control and the Health Department moved toward rightfully identifying street-related violence leading to the death and uncertain path for young people as an epidemic needing to be resolved, be studied. I really appreciate that about what he did. The most recent report of the Center for Disease Control, or CDC, as related to their study, which I understand is still ongoing, of these young people and the epidemic level of violence that we see across urban America, offered the following findings. Here they are. Now, in 2010, 4,828 young people who were in the age range of 10 to 24 were victims of homicide. That was an average of 13 each day. Sadly enough, since 2010 to 2018, the trend has not decreased. Unfortunately, in particular areas, it has increased. Homicide is said to be the second leading cause of death for young people in the age range of 15 to 24. Among homicide victims that are 10 to 24, in 2010, 86%, or 4,171 of them, were males, and a mere 14% were female, 657. Among the homicide victims that are at that age range again, 10 to 24 years old. Now, we're talking about people that lost their life, okay? In 2010, 82% were killed by a firearm, by a gun. Begs the question, what is it with young men, African-American males, and guns? What's the deal? We're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. Hope you join me tonight. Hope you join me. Each year, youth homicides and assault-related injuries result in what was estimated to be $16 billion, with a B, dollars, in combined medical and work loss costs. Of course, this is a serious issue. Can you appreciate now why the Center for Disease Control decided we need to study this and come up with solutions? Sad part about it is we haven't come up with them. Now, violence has been a reality in urban America for the last 40, 50 years. It has increased in its intensity, and focus and attention has grown greater in recent decades. The research of CDC, in part, focus on the behaviors of youth in public schools and their study. What they documented is that there is some sort of mini subculture of violence that is driven by this notion that I have to defend myself and take measures to be on guard against schools. Now, we're talking about young people who are in public schools, which presumably are safe, nurturing environments for learning. Consider what they found in the study. In 2011, this was a national study, and this is a sample of young people they interviewed between grades 9 through 12, freshman to senior year. 0.8% reported to being in a fight, a physical fight with them. Why? What you fighting about? Now, interestingly enough, of course, 40.7% of those people were male, but 24% of them were female. Even the females got that Hittite fighting spirit going on. I mean, you know, what's really going on? 16.6% reported carrying a weapon within the time that they did the survey. And that weapon was either a gun or knife or a club, right? They carried at least one day or more in this period that they did the study. Now, interestingly enough, 25% of those reported were males and 6.8% were females. But 5.1% reported specifically carrying a gun. You'll recall I just mentioned the fact that gun is the primary tool of destruction of black males in urban America. I asked the question, what's this with these guns? All right? And when you look at it, what we see is, of course, males had a higher propensity than females. This age range of 10 to 24 years old, homicide is the leading cause of death for African Americans. Second leading cause of death for Hispanics, and the third leading cause of death for American Indians and Alaskan Natives. Now, I'm speaking as a social scientist, one who has worked in the trenches over the years in urban America, for at least two plus decades. The father of a son who has avoided the perils of the urban American experience, the negative experience. In addition to that, I'm a survivor myself of what I'm talking about. Again, I want to, hey, Ms. Hinkley, I want you to understand that I'm not just snatching this out the air. And we have a serious problem. I've seen preachers right here in Nashville. We've had at least 5 shootings in Nashville recently. I've seen preachers on the TV, hogging the cameras, bless their heart. And they telling us what we've been hearing for the last 25 years. Well, we need to do something. These young people need help. They got a problem. But one of the problems, I believe, is that we're not being transparent, focused, deliberate, and honest with all of us about the problem. What the main issue is, that I'm not so concerned about the young people. They're children. They're going to make mistakes. I'm concerned about these grown folks. Grown folk in position of influence and who should be the primary caretakers of these babies. Gave you the statistic, 10, as early as 10 years old, 24 years old, losing their life in the streets. I'm concerned about any instance where a public official will abuse their authority, has been charged by police, some most unrightfully. But the truth of the matter is, if my babies are not in the street, they can't be facing that peril, can they? Why are they in the street so much? But we're going to get to it. We're going to get to it. I'm going to offer you 7 things right quickly, and then I want Donnie Hathaway to say to you what I can't say before we open up the phone line. 7 things is what we'll cover tonight that will help preserve the life of anybody's son that lives in urban America. I'm not saying that it won't be a challenge. They won't have to be on their P's and Q's, but consider these. 1, well-structured home environment. Ideally, a family-type environment. Well, that's not always going to happen. Well, work towards it. If it's important, make it a priority. Provide him with an example and teaching from a responsible man. I'm not talking about a pair of britches, somebody playing games. I'm talking about a responsible man. That's his coach. Ensure that he has instructions in his time management. When he gets up in the morning, he got something on his mind, he got a plan for what he's going to do with this 24-hour cycle, hours in a day. Be thinking about what he's going to do in this time and how those actions are going to catapult him in the future toward a specific goal that he's working toward. Well, he's too young. That they ain't thinking about that. That's the problem. So they're thinking about mayhem in the streets, and they have too much time for the street because their time is not properly managed. All right. Y'all not going to like me now, but that's all right. I still love you, and the thing you can do about it. Teach him self-discipline. Now, here's the catch right here. You've got to be disciplined yourself to model that for. Teach him to be self-disciplined. When everybody else is wrong, I don't want to teach him that he must maintain order within himself first, and that extends itself into the greater social context. With that discipline comes respect for authority. All right? Equip him with street smarts. A lot of funny stuff going on in urban America. Socioeconomic challenges cause people to be on the take and lying, cheating, stealing, and robbing. You've got to be conscious and aware of where he's going and step wisely all the time until such time as he can make it out of that environment. Introduce him to business development concepts. It's okay for him to want to work for someone else, but guess what? He needs to learn how to have his own business, ultimately. Work for a little while to develop a work ethic and a reputation, but be looking toward, I said this once before, if you work for McDonald's, start up on the ground level, flipping burgers for McDonald's, make it your goal to become franchise owner. Huh? Come on, somebody. I know I'm right about it. Introduce him to business development, as I said. And lastly, teach him to build and maintain a proactive circle of friends and acquaintances. A major reason young cats get caught up oftentimes in things they ain't got nothing to do with, but they're running with the wrong people who ain't got nothing on their mind. All they got is time to get into mayhem. Foolishness. Come get you and pull you right into their foolishness. Well, if you got your time managed, and you have the right people that you associate yourself with. Well, that child, like you trying to make you feel like you're better than, not that you're better than anybody, but you're better than that, than foolishness and destruction. We've got to be honest with these young people, see? If they got too much, if you see a young boy on the corner, brother, he got a banana or a pistol in his hand, something is wrong. Two things I can think of right away. One, he don't know what to do with himself because he's on the block. And two, somebody's not properly supervising him. That puts him at risk to peril and danger. We don't want that. We don't want that. Now, I promised you that I was going to let Donny Hathaway say this in a way that I can't say it. I'm not skilled enough. Listen to him just for a few minutes, and we got our phone lines are lit up. We'll be right there in just a couple of minutes here. Just listen to Donny Hathaway for you.
To be alone, oh, what a lovely, precious dream.
Have time.
I mean,
So when I hear outcast people say, well, you know, some things we just don't understand, we got to take time to figure it out. If you don't know it by now, man, get on out the way, because you sleep behind the wheel. Is that right, outcast?
Yeah, right. Exactly right.
I'm talking about great grown musty folk now. I'm sorry.
Right.
Grown folk, they don't have a clue, man.
No,
okay.
They don't.
But, Pastor Wallace, you got to keep me under control now. Stop me now so I don't get out of control here.
Yes, sir. I got you.
You know, I was just talking to someone, 8112, recently. And, again, now this is a college professor, 8112. In my view, he was making excuses for a dereliction of duty on part of people who are supposed to be out there and looking out for our babies. And I know you're a champion for that. You know, and he wanted to put the blame on the police and wanted to put the blame on the mayor, wanted to put the blame on society. And perhaps somebody, we need to look at that. But 8112, what was I wrong in telling him, no, you need to look at yourself, brother, in the mirror. What was I wrong in telling him that?
I don't think you were wrong at all. I think for me listening over the course of some months, I've heard very interesting things. Some I know something about, and some I could hear dead off head. When you spoke upon that about the kids killing each other, it took me back.
Okay.
It took me back for a reason. 2010 was the year. The Minnesota Police Department, they tasered and killed my son. So it's not always about the kids killing each other. And ever since then, excuse me, I'm still a little touched from the weekend and yesterday.
Sure.
It has been, like you spoke upon, more killings and more killings and more killings. All of them not necessarily by one another.
Right.
But people of authority have. We talk about them more. We don't talk about the authorities like we should. We talk about them killing each other. Something went wrong somewhere where they feel everything is about retaliation, my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everything is not about retaliation, because if you can reach out, maybe you can grab one of them and talk to them. I had my kid's brother we lost not long ago that passed. He didn't just die. He was murdered. And you brought up the word homicide.
Mm-mm.
And because these kids know me, because they're siblings of my children, he came to me hollering and crying, talking about retaliation. I said, that's not going to help you. Sit your ass down, because I will tag you up, put you in the basement. I know it's illegal before I curse somebody. You go to prison because you're grieving.
Right.
And he looked at me and he said, Mama, you like a mama to me. He said, I'm going to be respectful. I said, be respectful. I don't want to see nothing happen to you. So those little one word, as I keep saying and been saying the whole way go, it matters. And when you told that professor, I hope it ain't dumb, anyhow, it don't matter if it is or it's not.
No, that's not our guy. That's not our guy.
He took it personally because he knew he was in the wrong. Like you said, they so busy blaming everybody else, but what did he do to help out except collect his dollars and cents?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm an educated man too, but my degrees don't shield me from a responsibility to save our young folk. You know what I mean?
Because you have not forgotten where you come from, your roots, your dad.
Right.
You have not forgot those things. And when some people do forget, and some people come from better walks of life or worse people. Some people work their way from the ground up to the top. And then they forget. So when they forget, they ain't looking back at you. They look down on you.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem, because you're fed and frogs with snakes. And when these young kids get so aggravated and angry, there is no sensibility in their response to their frustration and anger, you know?
And, you are
and everybody's going to feel their pain.
You are right about some of them. All of them. No two people, young, old, black, white, I don't care what color, what creed, and where you come from, there are no two people exactly alike.
Well, that's
they may
true.
Have tendencies alike, but they are not exactly. You can reach out to some of them with a couple of
yeah.
words.
That,
some take a little
that,
bit more work than some others, but no,
right.
that is not
right.
possible to
your,
be, for
your
you
point
can't
is well
reach
taken.
Out to nobody.
Yeah, your point is well taken there. Your point is well that you cannot, it's not fair to label everybody and paint everybody with the same brush. That's true. Because you're right, people have different levels of motivation. I guess what I was speaking to, 8112, is when you're out there in the thick of it, though,
yeah.
everybody, you hear gunshots, everybody drop.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody run, right? Because they know that that is an immediate danger or harm. And that's what. But you're right. Everybody is not exactly the same. Were you going to say something, 3072s? Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to agree with you and Diane both. Man, so it doesn't take anything just grand like the professor you were speaking to was thinking of. I can understand how he could feel like, you know, hope is gone, kind of, what can I do? You know, it is dangerous out here. It really is.
Yeah, sure it is.
But again, I think that it can be done, and you may not be able to just immediately reach a magnitude of people like 1,000. But right, like Diane said, what about that little boy that you know? What about your nephew? That or what about your niece? Or what about their friend that comes around? Or right. Anytime there's an opportunity to plant positive seeds, that's what
mm-hmm.
we're supposed to be doing. That's
right.
what you can do. That's exactly
right.
what you can do. Yeah, and then if there's
yeah.
something out in the community to get together with others to do that, but your first responsibility is, you know, direct line of what's in direct line of you. That's what you should try
right.
to hit first.
You know, you said that, and I like what both you and 8112 are saying. And it brings me back to my example of my 6x6 dark room gentleman, Alcaz and Pastor Waller. I'm in there again, but this time, gentlemen, young dude is so anxious that he is not just got his finger over the trigger, but he busts a few caps off of them. And it's just you and he in there, his dog, and he busting caps. What do you do?
He bust the cap.
He's shooting.
First
he's,
thing,
he's pulling the trigger.
Okay, well,
rounds
okay.
Going
I'm not
going to
stand.
Dog room.
Okay, all right. So I'm not going to stand
on.
Up in front of. Okay.
Hold on. Hold your thought right there, Pastor Waller. You hear me?
Say it again, Pastor. Did you tell you about
the? You in the dog about room? Me. We're in our 6x6 room again. With Lil Shouty. This time he's so mad that he ain't talking and he ain't listening. He's just busting cap. What do you do?
What's a dark room, first of all?
You know what a room looks like, right?
Yes.
And it's no light in there.
And
well, the door is locked.
You're busting a cap.
He's speaking literally. He's speaking literally.
I'm meddling. I'm just trying to make.
No, no, that's
know.
Okay. That's okay. You're in the dark room with him now, and ain't no way out but the door, the front door. But right now, he's mad and he's angry. He's buzzing cap. What do you do? Of course, you know, I got to respond. I got to answer. And I want to hear 3072, but I want to process this with. Y'all help me with this. Because if you ask me, that's how dire the circumstance is right now. That's how dire it is.
I'm here for the dope.
Okay. Okay.
I can grab them too. I still peel.
What? You going for the dough, huh?
Oh, my God.
All right.
Yes, what I mean, Pastor, I know the dark room is already there, even with the lights on for me. You know, this is like, you know, being honest about what I look at when you look at the dark room. I'm looking at it at 12 in the moon, 12 midnight, either one. They're already still in a dark room with the gun, firing the gun, and trying to sister's.
That's it.
you know, this is just informal. Now, chances are a lot of times when they find pistols and they really know how to shoot, they just shoot and hope to kill. And in the midst of it, a lot of times people escape because of the way they shoot. Now, mm-hmm. I'm not so much concerned about the ones who shoot the gun. I'm more concerned about how they get the guns in their hands from the beginning. And in the midst of the dark room, we're talking about, you know, waiting on them to shoot the gun. They are already signing up morning, noon, or night. And that's darkness because it's a lifestyle. So my thing is what I'm hearing and what I've heard in the past is that self-destruction has a way of bringing forth darkness, and it doesn't even look like dark room.
Okay.
And that's just what it is. It's designed that way. It's already that way. So you go to the source and say, whatever this person is doing with that gun is not none of his fault, because if he didn't have that gun in his hand and knew the purpose of a gun, then he would apply. Yeah. But then that he didn't, and it was the purpose of it being in his hand in the beginning, that means we got to make sure that these young brothers have guns and narcotics and speak a certain language. And once we get them to defile each other, to speak a language that's defiling one another, then they know that it's going to work. So what do? We tap into the solution, because that is a problem. What do we do about that person in that dark room? Again, and we talk about it quite often, the solution is there. So when are we going to apply it? We're only going to apply it when we get out there and present it. If we don't present it, then there is no solution unless we are presenting one. So that's where it is in that dark room right there, day and night.
Interesting. Okay. Outcast, you want to weigh in right now, or you hold fast?
Oh, yeah, I'm holding. I'm listening. No comment.
Okay. All right, 37-2, what were you going to say, darling?
Well, I was going to say that first you have to, recognize that there is a dark room, that there is someone in there who's potentially dangerous with firearms. We can't play like we don't know this stuff is going on.
Right.
We can't play like I don't know that 16th Street is hot and I can get marijuana, I can get Molly, I can get whatever I want. I can't play like that dark room does not exist. I can't pretend like that.
Wow.
And then when the bullets start flying, I'm shocked.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Right.
No, there's
right.
not, oh, my God. It was only a matter of time. Now, as much as I love Pamela, I have to disagree with that person should take responsibility. That's part of the problem. It is your fault. We all have free will. You make the choice to either pick up a gun and kill people or not. Now, and I'm personally getting sick of innocent lives being taken. It happened here in Florida just, you know, a few days ago. So this young man apparently had mental illness too and was hospitalized and all that. So, right, again, I don't know nothing about him. The poor man that was killed, the little boy that was killed by him, don't know anything.
Right.
The people that
Your
know
phone
his
is breaking
do,
up there. Okay.
You know, can you hear me now?
Yes,
go ahead.
So we have to stop giving these free passes away. Okay, so maybe his people ain't going to say nothing, but if I know he a ticking bomb, you my friend, and I know your child is the main one on the block shooting it up every other day, I'm not going to come to you like ain't nothing happening. I'm going to talk to you about that. Because guess what? One day it may be me. He hit by accident. It may be my daughter. It may be my grandchild.
We need to talk about this. You own it. Can I tell you what I'm hearing you say? What I'm hearing you say is, when I say we, I'm talking about Negro, Black, Color, Afro, African American, whatever you want to call yourself, in the hood, have got to break this code of silence of the no snitch rule. Now, I'm not suggesting that you got to serve them up to orders all the time, but if you're not going to control them, somebody needs to.
And my point is back again to building that community like we used to have,
right.
Like you said,
right.
So I'm not going to call the police, but I can talk to your mom, your dad, your uncle, your whoever you're staying with. We can talk. Let me know how I can help.
You know, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something, 3072. This was a few years ago. A lady told me, she says, you black men need to get out of here and help save these boys. I said, well, I'd love to. But when I snatch them up, I'm going to have to snatch you too. That's going to be the problem.
Right.
How about that?
You see, Pastor, here's what he's saying about the snitch thing.
Yeah, speak up a little bit fast. Speaking your phone directly fast. We couldn't hear you clearly.
Okay, see, now when you're talking about the snitch thing, okay, and I'm going back from only when I was in the street. Okay.
Okay.
I needed to be stopped with what I was doing.
Right.
But snitching don't stop nothing. Snitching don't stop nothing. And I'm saying this to say, you say this guy was in there shooting a gun. See, he's already shooting. It's nothing that you can say to nobody. He's already shooting. Now, the thing that I'm saying, he cannot shoot a gun if he don't have it. And if the one who is causing this to take place is the one I'm going after, see, that's not going after. I'm not going at what's on the surface. I'm going to the core of the problem. And the core of the problem is how do they get the guns in the first place? And
yes,
if
sir.
We get to that part, then there's no need in worrying about nobody shooting no one or nobody selling no dope because the core of it is broke. It's no longer active anymore. If we understand now that this is a self-destruction with the intent because the trap is meant for the person to shoot that gun because I got a gun. They start out with paper and playing as a toy. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
With guns.
Yep.
So you're already preparing them to be able to handle a gun. And when you have, like I was a distributor, not only of drugs, I distributed guns out.
What?
But now how did I, listen, the thing that I'm saying about that is that the enemy put a trap out there and made sure that not only was you loaded with drugs, now you're loaded with guns that's causing more control and damage to a community. So you can only imagine how the guns are getting out there. We don't know nothing about no guns. How did it get there? So if we get to that part and get that, and get that put in perspective, and then these brothers would understand that, you know, I don't have to walk around with no gun and thinking I'm tough. And anything you have to jump off, I can just react to it, you see? And that's what we're missing. And I believe that if we get in contact with the trap is a supplier of everything that's needed to self-destruct. Mm. That's what a trap is.
Okay.
Oh, it's only need no trap. One more thing I'm going to say this. I'm going to have to turn it back over to you.
Okay,
anytime something can control your mind, the thought of having a gun, I got a gun in my hand. Now you're being controlled by the gun that you have in your hand, and you become a part of you. And so anything or drugs, whatever it is, so somebody's putting that in our community. Who's doing that?
I see.
Wow.
That's the one.
Well,
8112, you hold on one second. 8112, you want to say something?
It's called genocide. Knock them all off. Kill each other. That's what it's called.
That's it.
Watch out, man.
The repercussions are doing it for them.
That's it. Mm. That is it, man. I'm telling you.
Mm.
And they're doing it from afar. They don't even have to come out there anymore. Don't bring no rope. You don't have to bring no rope.
Yeah, most people won't see them or hear from them because they will cause you to self-destruct.
What's going on there?
Okay.
Revelation.
It is called
revelation.
That's interesting. I got something for y'all. Go ahead, 3072. What are you going to say?
I was just going to go back to what Diane was talking about the young man wanting to retaliate. My thing to him would have been, I know you. If you go and retaliate, you're starting a war. You're starting a war, not just for yourself. Not just for yourself, but just like you over here talking to me, when you go and cap up after them, they coming back where they know you be.
Right.
So you're not hurting them. In essence, you hurting the people that you know and love because that's where they're going to come. That's where these fools come now. They ain't just looking for that person. They want to hit any and everybody. So why make trouble? Forget about yourself, but for your people, for your friends, for your loved ones.
Okay. Huh. Well, so now I hear what y'all saying, okay? I get it, Pastor Waller, because I know I've grown up, and I know that there were many times when the gun store got broken into, the owner of the store got paid. and those guns went straight to the black market. I know for a fact. I ain't going to tell you exactly how I know that, but I know that for a fact, right? And so you're right. We do have to dig deep to find where the problem. But here's the thing right here. Somehow we got to teach our young men that a gun does not give you the power you think it does. And it's a baby, all it takes is 3 to 5 pounds of pressure to pull the trigger. So a baby can pull the trigger. That don't make you a man.
Oh, no.
Shorty, your greatest weapon is your mind.
Use your fist to see another day.
Say that again?
Man.
I said, what old boy said on Friday, use your fist, son, you'll live to see another day. And he whooped the shit.
Absolutely.
They don't look at that these days. That's old.
Absolutely.
And that's funny that you brought up that, Reverend Dockery. If you did a poll and you IQ tested the young men that's committing all the crimes and running around here firing firearms and, you know, with the drugs. Right. What how high would they score? Maybe that is back again. I mean, the professor ain't on here, but I agree with him seriously about, again, education, how important that is even, to learn even how to process yourself through troubles or whatever else.
Sure. Great point.
Wow.
Well, now,
wow.
So here, I offered those. Was somebody saying something? I'm sorry.
Well, that's my girl there, man. You hear what she just said, Pastor? I like what she just said. 37 to you right on target. Look,
no,
you're Pastor, right on target, man.
It's
right on target. Let me tell you how excited it is to learn something like, for instance, learning how to know that you have a gun in your hand. And
yeah.
Learn that I got a gun in my hand.
Yeah.
This is my gun. Now, what am I going to do with it? You know what I mean? First time around, and all of a sudden, you find out what you can do with it, no matter what it is. And then someone else get one in the hood, and there, you know, they pack it. You understand? And all of a sudden, they find something to do with it. And shooting one another come into play. Now, I thought I just had a gun just to protect myself or to protect someone around me. But now I'm going out robbing, going out doing things like that.
Yeah.
So that gun can start a lot of trouble. From a paper cap gun as a little boy, they playing with little guns right now. They teaching them how to learn how to deal with a gun. You see what I'm saying? So this is going on early. So when do we stop them from being able to acknowledge the danger of a gun while they're 4 or 5 years of age, is what I'm saying, because they're getting paper cap. They're selling them guns legally and pretending like it's a real gun.
Right.
And
come
I think
down my real gun.
Yeah,
come on
even
down my
for,
good question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Even for, like, a responsible person that's not out there on that. Me, for instance, so if I had a gun, what would I do? I would run. Not for me, but for the person. Now, if you happen to corner me, if you catch me after I've ran, I've tried to get away, then I'm sorry. If it's either you or me, it's going to be you. But initially, I'm going to run. I'm going to try to get away. They don't know to do that. All they see is I saw him with a gun, so I'm, no, that's not,
I want to answer my own question, and then I have two questions that I want to pose to the panel. The question about being in the 6x6 dog room. And I love the way Pastor Waller responded. I love the way, because he made it analogous to the urban American experience. It's in many ways a dog room that seemingly there's no way out. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and then 3072 came in behind him and described what's really going on. You're in there, and you're scared, and you don't even have a clue. So knowing and understanding the nature of the room and how you got there, why you're there, and what's going on in your mind, you don't stand up and face the gun.
No.
You get down low, and you get behind the young man. And Outcast, just hold his wrist and let him keep on firing, because eventually all the bullets are going to be gone, right?
Yeah. I agree, and then I want to make a comment.
Okay, go ahead.
No, but you go ahead. No, you go ahead.
Right,
I don't want you to lose.
I'll wrap this up right quick and turn the floor over to you. Once he is done with the bullets and the gun is no more used to him, then what does he get? He's at ground zero. Huh?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he's at that point where he's broken down, he has no more power, and Pastor Waller, we have an opportunity to build therapeutic rapport. But if you're afraid to get in a room and deal with what's in the room, you can't build that rapport. Go ahead, Outcast.
Okay, Senator Tooth, she brought up a good point, stating that a lot of these guys and women, if you tested them, if you gave them that Wesley test, how would they pass? Well, a lot of people don't like to hear it, but a lot of them will score in the line of retardation. This is how they will score. 69 is low. You know what I'm saying? You're retarded. But they'll stand up and say, well, nothing is wrong with me, but academically, you are retarded.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but now you do have a lot of people that don't have a high school education. Some of them can barely read, but they're good people. They stay out of the line of fire. What I mean by stay out of the line of fire is stay out of trouble. And see, there's another problem, I believe, that's with the young people. Not only the young people, the older people. They make up excuses and use excuses. Yeah, old folk. You know, when I was coming, let me tell you something about my mother. My mother only had a 7th grade education. She couldn't spell that well, but I understood what she was saying. But it was one thing that she always told us and pushed us to do was to go to school and get an education.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
testing her would have been scored in the line of retardation.
Yeah.
You know? But the thing is that this, it is always excuses. And then when you talk about things like this, people get real offensive. Well, I mean, look at some of your past presidents. You know what I'm saying?
That's
a lot of them, you know, were self-educated. Abraham Lincoln is one. You can look at Mount Rushmore, you know.
Right.
They didn't have college degrees and things of that nature, but they had common sense and they had the sense to lead. You know, if you have a sense to lead, you're okay. So, therefore, even though you may not have the academia, the book learning, but if you have common sense, you can make it. Now, a lot of people don't want to hear it. Now, I was in prison. Listen to me. A lot of these guys couldn't read. A lot of them couldn't do mathematics and things of that nature. And when it was brought to them, telling them that their job was going to school, they became angry. And I understand why they became angry, because they didn't want people to know, you know, that part of their being.
Right.
Their learning. Now, as stated, you have all these people, well, politicians. Let me go to the politicians for a minute. I'm not trying to step on your toes, Reverend Doctor, but now you got all these politicians with all these doggone degrees. They can't solve some of the world, can't even solve some of the simplest United States problems. So we have a problem there. And it goes back to ethics, and it goes back to morals.
Now,
I listen to you, Reverend Doctor, talking about the professor. No, he's radical. He's not interested, basically, in keeping the young people out of trouble. He are sending them straight over into that line of fire with that foolishness.
You
know, I'm not you don't sit up and tell me that the police is my problem. No, the police is not my problem. You don't sit up and tell me that the white man is my problem, because at the end of the day, I watch everybody. Red, white, blue, and green.
Yes.
And
yes.
I'm done.
Yes,
but the thing is what it is what it is. The Lord thought state. What it is what it is. Nothing can and cannot be in the same at the same time and in the same respect. If you're a criminal, you're a criminal. You know what I'm saying? If you're a fool, you're a fool. If you're wise, you're wise.
Right.
And I was going to say to Outcast about the IQ testing. You're exactly right. You either got to have one or the other, either common sense or book sense. And as funny as it sounds, but the reality is, the poor guys don't have neither one. They're just running around. They're just lives in a body running around.
So what happened, guys? What happened from the time they were born to the time they started hitting the street? What happened? What was the problem?
Nobody's taught them.
May I please
for one moment, then I'm going to shut up. Because how you guys feel doesn't make that so now. I stand up, and I know you guys do too for the underdog. Most of these guys out here are very intelligent. If you can sit up and count all the money, they count every doggone day. I'm good at counting money. But I ain't that good.
But,
a lot of them know right from wrong, even though maybe they feel like their family lives are threatened, their lives, they got to prove their manhood. That's where the man steps in at. The older ones supposedly steps in to encourage them, brother, little brother, you don't have to do that.
Right.
I think that's what Dr. Luther King was about also, teaching us we don't have to lay down and be abused. We don't have to abuse our sisters or our little brothers of this nature.
Wow.
Because it is wrong. It's called self-destruct. Once again, we can do all the talking in the world we want to. But when we say one thing, one of them young folks on there, listen, they're going to go back to their friend. They ain't talking about nothing, man. They just sitting here downing us. They're not listening to what we got to say. Sometimes it pays for us, even though we're trying to work with them. And it is a dangerous place out here. Yes, I agree. But that common sense that you guys were speaking about, it'll take suit. And when you feel like you're in harm's way, and you could just be at the gas station trying to get some doggone gas, you don't know what's on nobody, man, as both all of you guys have said, including myself.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I go to the store, I get a little antsy. I don't even go to the club anymore because I'm afraid somebody might do something to hurt me. Haven't been in years. But if I decide to go, you better believe I'd be worse than the president. I got my entourage with me.
No, no.
I ain't going by myself. I ain't falling
watch
down.
Watch out, Mama D. Okay. Go ahead, 372. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to respectfully say that intelligence and intellect is not measured based upon how much drugs you could sell or how much money you can make in a day. Now, if you want me to hold you down as calling you, man, a big time, a smart or intelligent drug dealer even, you wouldn't be on the corner selling drugs if you was that intelligent. Mm. You would have yourself somewhere out of the light, out of the line of fire, where you can really make money. You'd be at the top. You'd be doing it for real. You wouldn't be the one out there retaliating and shooting up cars and all that, huh?
Most of them are not out there. They got the underdog doing their leg work. Get that part.
But again, so the underdog is not intelligent, meaning he doesn't have common sense, and he doesn't have book smarts. That's obvious. Or he wouldn't be where he is.
Things that they didn't want to do. Have you ever heard about them being forced to do some things they didn't want to do? Have you ever seen some of them watch their best friends, their brothers, their cousins, their mamas get killed for not doing what some of these people say? It's called mafia, baby.
Yeah. Well,
it's
bigger than us.
It's
larger than us, and I'm just talking.
Let me say something about that. There used to be a saying back in the day, everybody's got a pistol. They had them Saturday night special on 22s. All the really, really bad rascals are either dead or in jail. Most of these cats out here got a bluff going. And when you check them on their bluff, then you can really clean a lot of this mess up. Now, I said this before, and I'm going to say it again, Pastor Wallace. If I did what I know it would take to save these babies, they put me in jail. they say I was kidnapping them and that I was inflicting cruel and unusual punishment on them. But when they got through, they will ask the question, what must I do to be saved?
That's what they
asked. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. What must I do to be saved, doctor? What I got through with it.
Right.
Truth of the matter is, they got so many rights, and they're allowed to roam freely, and it's enough rope to hang yourself. I'm
exactly.
talking about cutting their rope for them now.
Yeah.
You know?
And most of them think, and I would say that only because I was out there, and I understand, some of them still think they're intelligent. But, you know, I've heard of an educated student.
Yeah.
I've heard of an educated queen, and so some happen to be that. Almighty dollar. A lot of times when they see that almighty dollar or they see others getting it, and as I say, you know, they're educated, and you know, hey, I've got some of that money too. And all of a sudden,
right.
you do it in it, so it goes back again to the drug and the gun. When you put a drug and a gun in a poor neighborhood, you understand me?
Yeah.
And people are already having a hard time. What are
yeah.
you getting ready to see? You're getting ready to see destruction increase.
Yeah,
and
that,
when it's by way of a pain, and see, most people don't know, that's where learning comes in at. To learn that is a plan to destroy. A plan to destroy means that the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and to destroy.
That's
now, if the Bible sees that, and we're not familiar with it, then that's what takes place. But I like the latter part of that verse when it says, but I've come, that you may have life and have it in your memory. So there's a
All
two right. So why don't we get to what the scriptures say, take it to the streets, and make them aware of this 37-2 say that, hey, man, I must be a fool out here doing what I'm doing to do harm to my own people, to each other, and things
yes.
like that. That's the order of what the enemy is supposed to do. Cause conflict amongst one another. And the best way to do it is put something in a poor neighborhood from the start
yeah.
that's going to
yeah.
produce a lot of business that they're going to have, and so they turn on each other, you know? And it's sad, but you sit back and watch that when you have churches on every corner in Nashville. I don't know about elsewhere, but I'm sure there's a lot of churches in other places. But the answer is in the church, I believe. They got a Bible in there. They've got a book with instructions in it that can help you help other people. So why is it that people still kind of please themselves? I'm going to say this, I got to turn them back over. The Word of God says, we then who are strong ought to bear the infirmity of the weak and not to please ourselves. So if we please
wow.
ourselves, that means we can't stand the will of God's order.
Wow. Okay. Okay.
That's the way it is.
Well, Let me. We got 26.
They do food.
We got 26 minutes.
People do.
Let me pose this question, Mama Diane. Let me pose this question, and you can tackle it first. All right. These are two important questions, I think, and I got the answers. Y'all know I have the answers already, right? But I want us to think about it. What is the value of a urban American male's life, Mama Diane?
Oh, wait. Wow. I said wow for one reason only. I have five of them. I have five. And I said before that I'm blessed with. The value of their life to me is for me to speak to each and every one of their friends that walk through my door if they're doing something that's disrespectful or saying something not directly towards me, just being who they are, some of them.
Okay.
It is my
okay.
job. That I see them outside, I be like, yeah, man, what you doing? Pull your pants up. You better than that.
Okay.
It is right. time they're in that dark room, like the one that passed where I call y'all hollering and crying. Pastor Waller was on there. I thank all them guys so much because they brought me out of a dark place at that moment.
Well, good.
Because I was feeling like it was my fault if I'd have took him into my house. But I lived it by myself, even though I've been knowing him all his life.
Right, I remember that.
Maybe, just maybe, I could have helped him come out the darker place than he was, the darkest place in his life, obviously, that I didn't have a knowledge of.
Exactly.
And he's a grown man. Yes, he was, but so are my sons. That don't mean everybody got control over their life.
That's true.
Right.
That's so true. So true. Okay, passing on to 3072, 8112. Better answer. What's the value of an African American male youth life, 3072? Urban African-American.
I think it's priceless. You can't put a price on it. You shouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
I already know what Outkast's gonna say, but go ahead, Outkast. What do you say, man?
Well, it depends on how one look at it. I look at, you know, a lot of the black youth as being an endangered species. Now, I'm going to go back to what 72 said. I mean, what 12 said about going to the gas station to get some gas. You know not what's on somebody's mind. So, you know, they living in danger and peril every day. You know, I'll hold an endangered species, you know, both the male and the female. Yeah, I hold.
Okay. Wow. Pastor, you want to shoot at it? Want to shot at it, Pastor?
No, okay, run it, say it again about what did you ask?
What is the value of an African-American urban male's life? Is there a value? Can you put a value on it?
I mean, I think 3072 said it's priceless. I mean, that right there is more than enough. You know, you don't, I can't go no further than that right there. You know, if you can't search for something stronger than that, you know, it'd be like, you know, what are you searching for? I mean, it's laid down right there. You don't even want to even tamper with something like that because they are valuable. And then this fight is to be able to enjoy life and to just, you know, watch them outside playing. I mean, I'm refusing about this because of the insanity that I know they're faced with. You know, I would love to see them stay the course, you know, watch generation after generation and grow up and be able to live life and enjoy life without doing harm to one to another. That would be beautiful. You know, but the Bible is a step of people in order. So they need order. So how do we let them know that they're good? You know, that their life is worth living. You know what I mean? And it's priceless. You know, we feel about you. How can we get that to be on their mind and stay on their mind and make it known that, okay, they really do care about us. You know why they care about us? Because they all are taking it to the streets. They're bringing it to the streets. You know what I mean? To make us aware that we're somebody. You know,
right.
That's what you need to know. They need to know that they are somebody, and they're just maybe. If we come out of those buildings, my goodness.
Yeah. Let me echo what all of you all have said in essence in my response. Like anyone else in the world, there is absolute infinite value in the life of an urban American male, despite how they've been socialized or reared, even if they're self-destructive. Catch is, we've got to work to bring the very best out of them. And sometimes, gentlemen and ladies, you got to pop them in the chest to let them know you ain't as bad as you think you are.
Mm-hmm.
Sit down, shut up, and listen so I can save your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the part That's the tricky part, because then they're going to say, he assaulted me. No, I just whooped your man because I love you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm tying you up because I love you. I don't want to see you go out there and get in trouble. You see what I mean? There's a general breakdown in trust, respect, and love within too many urban communities. And until we replace that, it's hard to correct our babies when we see them in the wrong on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that breakdown of trust, love, and respect.
I respect.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir, you're right. 100%.
And we've got to get there. Let me shoot this next question to 3072. And 3072, I know you're going to come with me. Why are males more in danger of self-destruction than their female counterpart?
Why are they more in danger of self-destruction?
Why are males more in danger than their female, they're more in danger of self-destruction than their female counterpart? Why is that?
Wow.
Well, I mean, I think for one, I mean, and I love us women, but men have it so much harder from the get-go than women, I mean, now in the world. And I say that when I talk about, like, taking care of yourself, surviving. If you have a family, taking care of them, you know, right. When you don't have the proper, I guess, guidance, or nobody taught you, you don't have the education, the common sense ain't all there all the time, then, yes, you are, man, yeah, it's just a matter of time before you make a wrong move that's going to either end your life or lock you up.
Right. Hold on one second. I don't want to be rude, but we got a caller just joined us. 615-4379. Welcome to Talk Straight. We're talking from the topic, how to preserve the life of an urban American male youth. A question or comment?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just the most recent question that you just asked, why you think that males are more at risk to be self-destructive than females. I think that it's because kind of what 3072 was saying, it's two things. I think that one, males do have a urge, no matter what their resources or background is, try to go and get it, so to speak, and they're going to use whatever tools they have to do that. Now, that kind of leads to my, you know, two, I think that the reason why they're more susceptible is because the environment and the culture for males is, females have one thing to do, males have another thing to do. The thing that is the go-to or popular for urban males to do is going to be a lot more criminal, a lot more violent. The things that's there for women to do, urban ladies to do, is not necessarily going to land you in jail as much as the things that there is for males to do. So
that's my son, y'all. That's
very
my son.
And then also, I think just chiming on that dark room, you know, my opinion on that without, you know, changing what the current question is, you know, turn on the lights. So I think that exposure is one thing that's underrated, severely underrated when you start looking at, you know, a lot of the troubled youth and some of the at-risk males, because one of the things that none of them can deny is better. So when you actually expose them to better firsthand and they see better, you're not going to want to go back. Once you go eat some $100 steak, you don't want no little chewy stuff that you're going to get from the supermarket. So, you know, I think that showing them what it is to have and what it is to be better, you know what I'm saying? And you give them more tools to use and more tools to work from. You get to say, okay, now you don't only have to go and shoot and rob people. Now you can do it this way as well.
Hello.
I think that's
very well.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
May I offer my response to the question?
Yes.
I like that I was here. But now, and I don't want anybody to feel indicted when I give this response, okay? This is an academic discussion we're having. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, within the urban American experience, there is a practice to teach and fortify females for success when they face challenges. And
I
an disagree. Unconscious let me I knew I was about to hit somebody upside the head. Wait a minute. And there is an unconscious debilitating tendency to pacify males when they become uncomfortable with life challenges. Come on back at me now.
I'm the comment.
I knew you were going to be the one. I knew it. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I love you. Go ahead.
I love you.
Go ahead, Diane.
You sure, babe?
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel as though not necessarily so. I remember me saying a while back that people do as they know to do. Like, you used to eating caviar, then you got your uppity ways and bougie and all that. Some people want two lifestyles at one time. Some people only know to do what they are and who they are.
Okay.
And it goes back to, it's okay for us to sit here and say, well, you do understand some of them do and some of them just don't have a clue.
Okay.
So the young man spoke it very educatedly. I like that in him. But in reality, it is. I live up here. I have some of my own family members being mad at me, and I'm thinking, I'm just like the Beverly Hillbillies that moved to California. What the hell? And okay. When they all show up, they like, oh, here go Diane's family. But they became patient because they learned my nature. That wasn't my nature. It's not all of my nature, because they are very, some of them are very educated people.
Okay.
And some of them, rather than that, they live in big time areas and everything. I found myself made where I was supposed to be comfortably, but not so comfortable, I forgot who I am, the inner me.
Okay, hey Diane.
I want to
stay focused on that question. Why is it? My response, and that is the unfortunate tendency in practice to fortify and teach girls the skill sets they need to be successful, but to pacify boys. Go ahead, 37.
Not all the time. Everybody doesn't pacify boys. Boys have a heart a lot of times.
I'm going to get back with you. I got 13 minutes.
Okay.
Let me hear 37.
All right. Yes, sir.
Go ahead, 37.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say in rebuttal to your question, honestly, I don't see what you're saying about equipping women versus not equipping men. But one of the problems or the breakdown is the men are not there a lot of the times in the household
to instill the
manly values in
that boy.
Where the mama is left to raise the whole family.
Correct.
So what
right
can
there.
She do?
Hold on, stop for a second. That's the problem. And I'm not blaming, I told you, don't nobody feel indicted. I'm not blaming the mama by herself. The problem The problem is the breakdown in the family dichotomy. Elohim God himself saw fit that a father and a mother is to bring a child in the world and to raise and rear that child to fruition. Now, the breakdown, the dysfunction comes when that father is missing. You're absolutely right, because the woman just cannot teach that young boy, that male, how to grow into becoming a man. Now, she can try to manage him, and what happens often is because of a lack of understanding about the natural course and direction of manhood, they tend to pacify them. But now they can identify with a female. They can identify with a female.
I guess I had to tire her mom, because she taught all her seven sons.
She did the best she could.
I wasn't born for all of them.
I know she did the best she could.
And she did what she did. And I guarantee you, on her watch, then now one of them go to prison. And if they took their butt to juvenile, when she got a hope to them, after she told them to let them go.
Hey, Mama D, there are a whole lot of sisters, my mom included.
They're not more testified.
Hold on a second. There are a whole lot of sisters, my mom included, doing the very best they can under often difficult circumstances. That's one thing. And then the other thing is, what does it take to bring a male child to become a responsible man, a husband, and a father? That's a whole other thing.
Okay, so what is it going to take? It's going to take a responsible man, male, to do that.
Right.
Now you got some males standing in the homes now.
They send their woman
to take the trash out. They send their woman to change the oil. They send their woman to work.
I'm gonna just say out.
Ouch. And I'm gonna say everybody ain't got a male figure in their life. Let's come back to reality now.
Right.
Everybody ain't got all that. Everybody got no mommy and daddy by their side. Some people ain't got
damn
one of them. So what you going
to
do with that? Some kids out here on the streets faster raising themselves.
All right, hold on 1 second. I got another caller. We got 10 minutes. But, Dan, we need to put it back starting today. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Hold on. Let me get this other call in. 4644. I think that's out of Selma.
No, it's out of Missouri. But, you know, answer to that question, everybody's not going to make it.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what's happening?
All right.
Answer to that point is that everybody's not going to make it. But one thing I think is that the lease thing is, I mean, you could take many of the different approaches to this, but look at the schools. Let's give parents the right to put their child in the education environment that they feel best with school choice and vouchers.
Wow. Okay.
So with it, and that will go along with the goals that they have for their child. And most times it's going to be coming from a functional family. But see, if you keep putting in functionality with dysfunction, then you're not going to never get any place.
Well taken. So, well taken.
Thank you.
Well taken. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you, man. And the truth of the matter is, yes, things are messed up and everybody don't have it. But see, what we've done is taken the norm and made abnormal normal. See, that's out of order.
Yeah.
And what we need to do is to go back to the order that was prescribed for mankind. And stop allowing popularity and everybody and their mama suggest to you who you should be and how you should be, and you don't have a clue who you are. You turn around in a circle.
Yeah.
You don't even know which way you're going. You know, what happens is when the truth comes, oftentimes people feel indicted because, you know, they say, you know, which dog you hit when you throw a rock in a pack of them, because the one that did you, they holler. The truth is, I'm talking about me now, we've got to be honest and focus and direct with our people about how to preserve the life of our young folks. It can happen if we're honest about it.
One way to do that, too, is when we have all our sons and daughters procreating and making babies, we need to be advocating marriage.
Absolutely.
Now, y'all done decided to lay down 4 and 5 and 2 and 3 times. We need to be going to the altar. Y'all need to stay together to raise these children to be something more than yourselves.
Absolutely.
Most agreeable.
And look, and what the marriage is a promise that when we lay down, we're going to be responsible for what comes from our laying down. And that's what the marriage agreement is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I got a solution for that, too.
Okay, what's that?
Before you let your daughters date anyone, do a thorough background check on that guy. His family, his mama, and especially them aunties.
That's right. He's right.
And the same thing
tonight
with your daughter.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you what I told my son, St. Louis. I told him, look, man, don't be going stepping on nobody if you ain't got no conversation. You know what I mean? Because somebody need to check you out to make sure you're up and up.
Absolutely right. How in the heck he gonna marry? He can't even afford a bologna sandwich. What is that going to do?
He can buy eggs. He can buy eggs.
Well, dude, y'all got started now.
Instead of bologna.
For real.
Y'all true.
Well, we're laughing, but it's true. There's a reality to that, you know.
Babies, they can't afford to buy eggs, but they can find school. They got their egg sandwich.
Wow. Okay. Well, I appreciate you coming in on that for 46, 40, 44. Listen, we got 6 minutes. Man, my goodness. Time is getting away from it. I want to reiterate, if I may, just right quickly, those 7 things. And it's possible to preserve them. The truth of the matter is you're going to have to arrest them from that socialization that they've had and reprogram their minds to another way of thinking. That's probably the best way for me to summarize that. They have to be reprogrammed from all of that foolishness and that garbage and the notion that I'm a grown man, I can do what I want to. Basically, what you are, with all due respect, is a chronologically grown, naive animal who don't even know how to provide for itself.
And you
that's
know
the
what?
Problem.
It goes, I can speak to that in my own personal life, even though I wasn't doing all of those things. But you're right. You have to arrest yourself and remove yourself from where, obviously, you're getting nowhere. You get nowhere, so go somewhere else where you can possibly get somewhere.
Then people say, you're taking my constitutional rights away from me. You're depriving me of my freedom and my liberty.
Wow.
But you always ask for somebody for a bologna sandwich, though. What's wrong with that picture? The egg sandwich. That's right. An egg sandwich. Listen, let's transition out of here. A final word, 4644, before we get out of here, and then we're going to turn over to Pastor Wild. St. Louis, you there? Okay. Well, let's go to 4379. Final word, 46.
Yeah, well, I agree. I think it's a good conversation going on. I think you summarized it well, too, you know, having just pretty much stopped where they at and kind of re-implement something, too. I think that, you know, it's also being honest about the situation. You have to keep in mind that there is going to be a portion of people that are just going to be more or less unhelpable. And, you know, you have to focus on where you're going to be able to get the most bang for your buck. You know, I guess in business terms, you look at it as the biggest return on your investment. So you got to look at who is at jeopardy to be helped the most and, you know, kind of target on those areas. And some people are going to unfortunately have to just, you know, not be helped.
Okay. Well, appreciate you sharing that with us on Talk Straight here. All right. Go ahead, 8112. Final thought right quickly.
Y'all don't cloud in my head enough. I love all of y'all. I appreciate and respect everything y'all said. I'm signing off, Captain. Aye, aye, Captain.
All right. Bless you. Thanks for joining.
I'm just mad.
All right, then. Outcast, give us a final thought, man.
Oh, no, I'm done. I'm done.
Okay. We appreciate
enough.
You, sir.
Thank you.
We appreciate you. 3072, final word?
I'm yielding to Pastor Waller.
All right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate you and my friend out of St. Louis for joining us here tonight as well. We got just about 3 minutes. We're going to let Pastor Waller wrap us up here tonight, and we'll be back Thursday night at 7 o'clock p.m. Y'all know we've been doing some campaign things, so we've been trying to keep our flow going here. But, Pastor, take the floor there, sir.
Yeah, well, I praise God for everybody had a chance to talk as well as listen. The thing that I like the most about assembling ourselves together is making sure we have God in it. To have God in it first. Because he does make people in it or. And he
said your phone a little closer there.
Yeah, I say he said those words about how he loved to see things done decently and in order. God is not a God of confusion. He's not the author of it. And so we have him first. Keep him first and follow his order. I think with him in it, it makes it flow a lot better. So just in case there's someone who desires to get to know him, he's available. And that's most important at this point from what I'm hearing, because you got so many people saying so many things. And when you sum it all up and he says, well, there's two or three gathered together in his name, touching and agreeing, then that's what he's in the midst of us. That's
right.
What I have to put out there. Glory to God.
Right. Well, we appreciate that. We appreciate that. And again, we're going to come back Thursday night and with another episode of Talk Straight. We appreciate all you guys for joining us. This is your host, Reverend Dockery, and we're going to sign off with this thought, and that is that there's hope that if a tree is cut down, it can sprout again. As yet hope. And Lexington Hughes talked to his son. Mama wrote a message to her son about that hope, that life ain't been no Christmas. It's been Talk Straight. We'll see you on Thursday.
Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a climbing on and reaching laddens and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, I still going, honey. I still climbing. And life for me ain't been no crystal stair.